All right.
I didn't know Priuses were that big. That's like, have to check that out. So this year we've been looking, this church year, since September, we've been looking during our worship time at spiritual practices. Spiritual practice is the doing part of religion. What do you actually do with your faith? If faith is our beliefs plus our values plus our actions, then spiritual practice is the actions, the active part of our faith. Spiritual practices have both an inward and an outward movement. Inwardly, spiritual practice is the way that we explore and deepen our faith. Outwardly, spiritual practice is the way that we express our faith. Inwardly, spiritual practice is the means by which we examine the questions of identity and meaning. Who am I as an individual? Who are we as a human species? What is real about the world and what is illusion? What is life for? And what happens after I die? And the question of meaning, why does it matter? Outwardly, spiritual practice is our answer to the question of purpose. What should I do? So from our beliefs and our values, which is our theology, we say to ourselves, okay then, the world and I being what we are, and this set of values being important or worthy, here is what I should do. Some spiritual practices are more focused on the inward part of our faith, the searching for our answers to the spiritual questions and putting together our worldview. Other spiritual practices are more focused on the outward expression of our faith, where we say, okay, then, now that I've got that worked out, here is what my faith calls me to do. But every spiritual practice is a little bit of both. The means by which we explore and deepen our faith, and also the means by which we express our faith through our lives into the world. We started this exploration of spiritual practices by looking at the most common way that Unitarian Universalists do our religion. I mean the kind of spiritual practices that we do together as a spiritual community. For many of us, gathering for worship is the most obvious thing we do for our faith, exploring and deepening our faith when we're here, also asking and answering the spiritual questions, and then expressing our faith through the rituals and readings and singing together that comprise our Unitarian worship. After some examples of spiritual practices done within our spiritual community, we then looked at several kinds of spiritual practices that people do individually. And there's quite a variety of these kinds of spiritual practices. So you might do one or two of these: meditation, prayer, movement practices like Tai Chi or yoga, or walking a pilgrimage or hiking in the woods, gardening, creative practices like painting or dancing, writing poetry, or keeping a journal. Just about any activity can be a spiritual practice, so I encourage you to find one that works for you. Just remember that a spiritual practice must be a practice. So we're not talking about one-time spiritual experiences, although those can be significant. But we're talking about a practice that you commit to repeating on a regular schedule, a practice that's designed to develop your spiritual capacity so that the whole of your life can be more consistently spiritually rewarding. And remember also that what transforms a mundane activity like gardening or knitting or cooking or working out at the gym into a spiritual practice is three characteristics. A spiritual practice is intentional. That is, you are deliberate about naming the activity as spiritual and you focus on the spiritual aspect as you do it. A spiritual practice is holistic. That is, the spiritual practice involves all of you as you do it, mind, body, and spirit. Your body is occupied, your mind is engaged, your awareness is focused on where you are and what you're doing. You're not thinking about other things or trying to do three things at once. And a spiritual practice is ecstatic. ecstasy in the spiritual sense of that word, the feeling of being at one with the universe. Your sense of self expands beyond the narrow ego of me and I, and you feel connected to and embraced by something larger than yourself. And then finally, in the last couple of weeks, we arrived at the third category of spiritual practices, those practices that we do in public and with people who are not part of our spiritual community. Public witness as a spiritual practice, like testifying at a city council meeting. Activism as a spiritual practice. Driving your Prius around, loaded up with bumper stickers. Or doing volunteer work for an organization that is living out your faith values in some way. So last week we looked at parenting as a spiritual practice, parenting as a way of exploring and expressing our faith, doing our religion for our children within our family. And today I want to end this whole series on spiritual practice by looking at one more means of exploring and expressing our faith in the public sphere. I mean teaching as a spiritual practice. Bill Schultz says, in the words that we used as our opening words this morning, "This is the mission of our faith, to teach the fragile art of hospitality. Teaching is one aspect of the mission of our faith, not to hold our faith to ourselves, but to share our faith, to help other people know what we know and to do what we do, to teach the fragile art of hospitality." For Bill Schultz, our mission also includes reverence for the critical mind and the generous heart. And then he gives two more examples, all from these opening words, that are both a kind of teaching by example to prove that diversity need not mean divisiveness and to witness to all that we must hold the whole world in our hands. The mission of our faith, for Bill Schultz, is not just that kind of mission work where we directly reduce the suffering of other people. Mission work like giving food or giving clothing or giving money or working to change public policies that propagate injustice against the vulnerable. Mission work for Bill Schultz is also teaching others so that they can help themselves. Here's what I've learned. Here's how you can make your life healthier, more joyful. Here's how we can work together to make human communities healthier and more joyful. To teach the fragile art of hospitality, to prove through the successful example of our own diverse community that diversity need not mean divisiveness, and to witness to all that we must hold the whole world in our hands because they can see us doing that work of holding. As we come near the Christmas holiday, it's natural to start thinking of the life and message of Jesus, even if in a Unitarian church we don't consider Jesus very often throughout the rest of the year. And at Christmas time, perhaps more starkly than at any other time of year, the difference between the Unitarian perspective on Jesus and the more Orthodox Christian understanding of Jesus becomes clear. Christmas is actually a strange holiday for Unitarians to celebrate. Jesus in the Christmas story is merely a baby. Jesus has no lines in the Christmas pageant. He sleeps, he cries perhaps, or perhaps he smiles silently. He lies in the manger. He doesn't do anything. Of course not, he's just a baby. Everything that Unitarians revere about Jesus comes after this scene in Bethlehem. He's great only because of what he will do in our Unitarian theology. But in the Christmas story, we're supposed to believe that he is already great, praised by angels, honored by kings, and revered by shepherds. Because to Christians, the baby Jesus is already God incarnate. The mere fact of his being born is already a miracle, a significant achievement in the salvation story that will eventually have this God-child die for all of us to pay the sacrifice that's required to balance the cosmic account books against our human sin and win for all humanity eternal life. But for Unitarians, who regard Jesus as strictly a human being, everything that will make Jesus important is still to come. Not part of the Christmas scene at all. The birth is just a birth, which is nice, but no miracle. The angels and the star and the shepherds and kings are just the kinds of elements that get attached to the stories of the births of mythic beings, but are really beside the point for a human baby who will grow up to have a significant but strictly human life. And what we Unitarians want to celebrate in Jesus' life won't happen yet for 30 years and far away from the manger scene in Bethlehem. What makes Jesus important to Unitarian Universalists is not his birth, and not his death either, but his life. And what makes Jesus important to Unitarian Universalists in particular is his teaching. It is Jesus the teacher that we revere, not Jesus the Savior. Not the Jesus who did great things on our behalf, but the Jesus who showed us how to do great things. Not the Jesus who lies in the manger and asks nothing of us. Not the Jesus nailed to a cross who suffers and dies for us while we watch and pray. Not the Jesus who changes our lives for us, but the Jesus who asked us to change our lives. The Jesus who, throughout his public ministry, told us what we needed to do, taught us how to do it, challenged us to try a new kind of life, and proved to us by his example that such a life was possible for any human to live. To teach the fragile art of hospitality, to prove that diversity need not mean divisiveness, and to witness to all that we must hold the whole world in our hands. In Unitarian Universalism, it is our understanding that each person is responsible for their own salvation. And salvation for Unitarian Universalists doesn't mean an afterlife in heaven, but a heaven on earth in this life. Each of us, like Jesus, is good enough, smart enough, and strong enough to make a life of health and joy for ourselves and to work with others to make lives of health and joy for all people and to care for the planet we share. That's my elevator speech, by the way. So I'll give it to you again. Each of us is good enough, smart enough, and strong enough to make a life of health and joy for ourselves and to work with others to make lives of health and joy for all people and to care for the planet we share. Jesus' role in this Unitarian Universalist salvation story is not to do the work for us, but to show us how it's done. Throughout his life, Jesus explicitly taught the lessons that we need to know to take care of ourselves and each other. And when he wasn't explicitly teaching, Jesus was showing us what to do by example. You probably know some of Jesus' teachings, and you've probably incorporated some into your own life, or at least you try to. Jesus himself summarized his teachings in what is called the double love commandment. Love God with all your mind and body and spirit and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, align your whole being with the best and the highest that you can conceive, and love all the world, because you and the world are one interdependent existence. But there is a part of Jesus' teachings that we often overlook in our Unitarian perspective. We say that the usefulness of Jesus to our spiritual lives is his teachings, and we say that one of Jesus' important teachings is the example of his own life. And therefore, say Unitarian Universalists, we ought to do what Jesus taught us to do, and we ought to live as Jesus lived. So doesn't it follow then that one of Jesus' most important teachings for us is that we should be teachers. If we should live by Jesus' example, and Jesus lived as a teacher, we should be teachers. Jesus is addressed directly in the Gospels 90 times. He's called Lord, Master, Savior, Rabbi, more than any other title. 60 times out of 90, he's called teacher. In gospel scene after gospel scene, something happens like this. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Or Mark 6, 34, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Or Luke 5, 3, and he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land, and he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. Or John 8, 2, early in the morning, he came into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. Jesus teaches throughout his life, by parable, by story, by interpreting the wisdom of others contained in Scripture, and by the constant example of his actions. And what is, by the way, the very last teaching that Jesus gives us? In the last verses of the Gospel of Matthew, after the resurrection, and just before he ascends to heaven, Jesus says this. It's known as the Great Commission. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus commands us to be teachers. Some of you are literally teachers. I'm married to a teacher. My mother was a teacher. Teaching is a very common profession amongst Unitarian Universalists. Teaching is part of our culture. All of us should consider ourselves teachers. How do we take the good news that we've learned from our Unitarian Universalism and share it with others? How do we teach? By word and by example, as Jesus did. Well, we could teach our children here at church by volunteering in our religious education program. We can teach our children at home. We can teach other family members or friends and neighbors. We can be explicit by using words, or we can teach by example, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, the goal of world community, the interdependent web of all existence. We can teach our faith by deed, not creed, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We can hand down to our children the heritage of mind and heart, laughter and tears, musing and deeds, as de Saint-Exupéry encouraged us in our opening words last week. We can be generous in not holding fast the good gift of our faith, but in sharing it with others and with the world. For a faith that doesn't much believe in supernatural saviors who will do the work for us, we must be faithful in equipping all people to do what they must do for themselves. Be that teacher, faith directs. Be that helper, nothing daunts, doubt of friend or taunt of foe. Be that guide whom love sustains. Rise above the daily strife, lift on high the good you find, help to heal the hurts of life.